Whole day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Whole day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Whole day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Good morning, everybody. Wow. What a set of pipes on her, huh? You deserve the glory. You deserve it all, King Jesus. What a great voice. What a great song. What a great reminder to all of us that all glory goes back to God. All of this glory. The glory that you see. Look at this. Look at this behind me, huh? Can we remove the lower banner so people can see the beauty of God's work? We got that? Perfect. I'm going to walk off set here while you guys enjoy. How can you not give all the glory to God for all of that? How can we not? And then thinking about getting up every morning, being able to give thanks to Him for your life. He deserves it all. He deserves all and more. Cat 352 says, LFA family, asking for prayers for my stepmom. Her name is Betty. She's given up on life. Just got back from a few days with her. And in all of that pain and turmoil, she even donated $50. We definitely will keep her in our prayers. Also see that, was it Loki Lanny's? Burying their father tomorrow. My family and I will be praying for that when we get together at the supper table tonight. We live in a world, folks, where there's a lot more take than give. We live in a world where people put themselves at the center of the universe. We live in a world where people who are happier taking and having people give them what they feel they deserve than they are giving what they think they deserve up as a sacrifice. Now, you've all heard the saying, a little give and take, right? Well, let me read for you the English dictionary definition of a little give and take. Mutual concessions and compromise. There has to be give and take on both sides. To make concessions or compromise, children learn to give and take from such experiences. I'm going to read for you the description of today's show that we have on Rumble. And it says this, when you give something to someone, you shouldn't expect anything in return. Well, how about if somebody takes something from you that is painful so as to ease your current situation? Should you give back to them? I believe there's a difference in saying give and take or trade and receive. One is of the world, one is of God. Let's talk about the difference between the two. I would rather give than take anything. However, there's a difference between the word take and the word receive. I don't want to take anything. I want to open up and receive the things that people want to give to me, whether it's advice, whether it's help, whether it's funds. I don't want to take anything from anybody, but I do want to receive from the Lord. I think that's the difference between being a Christian and just being of this world. And I want to talk a little bit about that today. So I'm going to ask you guys to all sign in. That's the most effective way to share the gospel today. Sign into your Rumble profile. And for all of those having a hard time finding or watching shows, 9 times out of 10, it's because you're on the Rumble app. If you go to your browser on your phone, you know, your Windows browser or your Safari or whatever, and you sign into Rumble that way, you'll have the full experience of the web. You can even live chat on there and everything. I also know that yesterday's show is not replaying live from America, and Rumble team is on that as we speak. So we'll get that taken care of, hopefully sooner than later. So I do want to talk about taking and receiving, giving and trading. Because in Philippians 4, it talks about this. So let's start out today with a beautiful prayer. And then we'll talk about giving, taking, trading, and receiving. Lord and Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for bringing us all together in your name for fellowship every day. This has done more for me than any establishment or any church I've ever visited. This journey that you have me on, Lord, this journey that you have everybody that's watching and listening and seeking your word today, Lord, it's such a beautiful journey to be on. And I am literally thankful for every second of it, and I thank you so much. Lord, there's a lot of people in the chat today with fears, anxiety, stress, and sadness. I can feel it coming through the digital airwaves. Lord, and I ask today that the Holy Spirit is strong with me so that we can ease some of their painful situations, so that we can cast our anxieties, sadness, and anger onto Jesus, whom you gave to us as a sacrifice to be back in communication with us, to have communion with you again. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. Talk about giving and receiving. Lord, thank you for today's message. Thank you for today. And we pray a long, healthy, and spiritually prosperous life for everybody in this fellowship seeking your word. We pray this in the name of your son, Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. So, let's get right to the meat and potatoes of it. Have you ever noticed that Jesus doesn't just say, "Give me your anxiety and your fears, and I will take it from you"? Thank you, Jack, for the $2 donation, man. We really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Jesus doesn't just say that. And we know that because we're going to go to Philippians today to understand all of this. Jesus doesn't just say, give me all of your anxieties and all of your fears, and I'll take it from you. He doesn't. He actually wants to trade you something for it. Not only is he willing, Jesus of Nazareth, to take all of your sadness, fears, depression, anxiety, all of it, which are very bad feelings, not only is he willing to take it from you, but in all of his glory, because everything done in the Lord will fill your cup and it'll have it overflow, he actually says, I'm going to trade you something for it. I'm not just going to take the bad away. I'm going to give you something good in the place of the bad so that there's no empty moments, no spare moments, no hole in your life. I'm going to fulfill your life with something great because you gave me all of your bad. Now let's stop and think about this. This doesn't make any sense on a human worldly level. If Sherry or Kristen or KC22 or Trishy or anybody you know came to you and said, look, I've got massive amounts of debt. I can't pay for it. I know you don't have a lot of money either, but I need you to take my debt for me. First of all, none of us would do that. If it's a $100 debt, something like that. I'm talking about your house, your cars, all your stuff. I need you to take my debt. Who would actually take somebody else's debt? Now, if it's a family member or something like that, or a friend that's in need, you might think about it, but let's talk about it in a realistic point of view here. You would barely do this for your family members, let alone a complete stranger. Amen? What Jesus does when he takes away all of your pain, all of your suffering, all of your anxiety and worry is the equivalent of somebody taking all of your worldly problems, all your debt, all your physical pain, and says, I'll take that for you. And not only will I take it for you, I'm going to give you some startup money and a new opportunity at life while I take care of all your painful situations for you. Think about that. That's not something that we're used to on this planet. We don't get that from people on this planet, but we get it through Jesus. He says, when you throw your anxiety on my back, and we're going to be going to Philippians 4 for this, says when you give him all your anxiety and throw all your anxiety on his back, he actually trades that for peace. He doesn't just take it from you. He puts something in place that you can't understand, and you can't understand why. You just don't get it. You say, how would you take everything that's bad in my life from me and as if that wasn't enough that you're relieving me of that pain, you're actually giving me something in return for that pain that's far better than anything that this world could ever, ever offer and something that I just don't understand? So again, I take you back to the analogy. Imagine if somebody took all your pain, all your suffering, all your finances, all your bills, fixed what ails you, gave you a cure for any disease or sickness you had, and then gave you startup money at a new life and gave you a home and a car and said, don't worry about life anymore. I'll take your problems and I'll give you everything you need in the future. You never have to worry about everything ever again. Imagine if somebody did that here on earth. Imagine that. Jesus says, when you throw your anxiety on me, not only will I take it from you, but I will trade you something good for it. Majorva, for any family member in need, I hope this will help. $50 donation. And I saw somebody said they sent me an email. I hope you're not sending it to jeremy@jeremyharrell.com because that doesn't exist anymore. A lot of people think I don't answer them. It's because that email doesn't exist anymore. There's no direct line to me at the moment because I felt that it was unfair to have that direct line to me if I didn't have time to answer the emails. So if you sent me an email somewhere, you didn't send it directly to me because I'm looking at my email here. That means you probably don't have my personal email. But you can always send it to producer Eli, okay? Now, getting back to this, it's not just any kind of peace that Jesus trades you for all of your pain and suffering. It is peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace that you can't even fathom. A peace that you can't understand why you feel so free in the midst of everything that you've gone through. You just don't get it. It is that kind of peace that produces something called joy. So not only does Jesus take your problems away from you, but he fills you and trades you with peace that will flourish into joy. And what am I talking about? Well, anybody here who's experienced peace and joy, real heavenly peace and joy, it hits you out of nowhere, doesn't it? It's not like you're sitting there trying to feel that way. I've never sat there and just tried to say, oh, come on, let me feel peace and joy. I believe in God and I want that peace and the joy. It hits you when you're least expecting it. Like, you could just be at the refrigerator. You could be outside. You could be starting your car. You could be raking the lawn. You could be mowing the lawn. And all of a sudden, bam, what is that? What is that? That's peace and joy that I'm talking about. And the only way you can get that is by giving all of that anxiety to Jesus and he trades you for it. You guys remember trading baseball cards and action figures and toys as a kid with your friends? Oh, I traded him this. And then my kids were trading Pokemon cards with everybody. Oh, I traded my Pokemon card for this one. I traded my most prized possession, the toy I've loved forever. I've traded it. And you go, why would you trade that? And you're like, well, because I wanted that so much. Well, that's what Jesus does. He doesn't just take. He gives in the wake of taking. And he gives something that you can't get anywhere else. And that is that peace and joy that I'm telling you about that just hits you out of nowhere. And you're like, whoa, why do I feel like crying? Why do I feel like dropping to my knees and just being so incredibly grateful and happy for what I have? Why do I feel this way? And it's because Jesus has traded you. You've given something to Jesus and he has traded you back. Your cup has overfloweth and you just don't feel like you deserve it. He even thanks you for it. He not only takes the problem, takes the anxieties, and takes the fears, if you just say, you know what, Jesus, I'm just going to give this to you today. He not only takes it, He not only gives you something for it that is beyond anything you could ever get on, better than winning the lottery, folks, better than winning the lottery, even if it was $1 billion. He then thanks you for giving it to him. And he doesn't expect a thank you in return. He just expects love. That's all. When you go outside, Jesus tells you in the Bible to smell the flowers, listen to the birds, and marvel at God's creation. So I started doing that a couple years ago. And I never experienced anything like it in my life. It was the first time that I felt like I could hear God with my ears. Now, I had felt and heard God with my heart, but I never heard God with my ears. You know, you're expecting, Jeremy, it's God. What are you doing today? Right? But that's not what happens. You hear God through God's creation. So if you want any suggestions from me, it's go outside in the mornings, in the afternoons, in the evenings, whenever you have the time to do it. And go outside where nobody can interrupt you or bother you or speak or annoy you or anything. Go outside and just close your eyes and don't let anything open your eyes. Literally listen deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. I want you to listen for miles. I want you to focus on hearing things that you wouldn't normally hear when you're just doing whatever during the day. You need to listen. See those birds flying behind me up there? You'll hear each one of them. You'll hear them speak to each other. You'll hear flowers blowing in the wind. You'll hear the wind. You'll hear dogs barking. You'll hear probably people talking, maybe a mower off into the distance. You'll hear things that you normally don't focus on. And when you can get that deep into just meditating on God, you'll hear him. Oh, you'll hear him. That's when you cast everything on Jesus. That moment when you're outside and you're in that weightless, very light, heavenly state of meditation, that is when you say, take it. Just take it. Please, Lord, take it. It's very difficult to just get up out of bed and say, Lord, please take my issues, take my problems. It has to be sincere. And for it to be sincere, you have to be paying attention. And we're going to show you an old video of Ray Comfort back when he used to preach to crowds on Huntington Beach. Because you'll see that this kid that he's talking to in front of his friends, he just can't focus. You can't have a relationship with God if you can't focus. Be mature and have a serious one-on-one connection with God. At that moment, that's when you give it all away. That's when you say, Lord Jesus, please take this from me now. And that feeling of weightlessness and that everything will lift off your shoulders and you'll start rocking back and forth and you'll open your eyes, and what Jesus trades you immediately when you ask for it is peace. And that will blossom into joy. And that joy will hit you out of nowhere. Happened to me in the kitchen the other day while I was cleaning. Just out of nowhere, opened the refrigerator and boom. It was like Jesus was in the refrigerator waiting to be let out. I opened the refrigerator and he's like, ah. And then I realized I was looking at a ham. No, I'm just kidding. He will take your problems with a smile on his face and trade you for peace. Not just take your problems, trade. And all you have to do is receive. And I know we don't like being takers, but man, should we love being receivers, right? So again, Jesus never says, give me all your problems and I'll take them. And let's go to the verse of the day today. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up your verse of the day today to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I'm going to put it up on the screen for you. But in case you want to feel the weight of those pages and feel God's word in your physical hand, then go to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Okay? And I'll put it on the screen. Go ahead. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everybody. The Lord is at hand. And here is the highlighted focus of the day. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Right there, Jesus tells you, I'm not just going to take it. He says, cast all your fears, all your anxiety on my back. Throw it on my back. I've already paid the price. It's light for me. What's heavy for you is nothing for me. It's like picking up air, Jesus says. And for that, for your faith, because that's what this all comes down to. You can't cast anything on God, on Christ, and you can't have communion with God without faith. So when you're standing outside and you're closing your eyes and you're listening as far as your human ears can listen, so much so that it starts opening up your heart and you start listening with that, that is a sign of faith. That is when you give everything to Jesus. And that is when Jesus not only takes it, but for your faith, he gives you peace and joy beyond all understanding. It says it right there. Let's go back to it. And peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Beautiful. I want to read from Living the 66 Books of the Bible, Philippians. Philippians is one of the best books in the Bible for giving yourself an uplift in the spirit. Though he was writing from prison, Paul filled this letter with expressions of joy and rejoicing, telling us to rejoice in the Lord. He also gave us an unbeatable motto for life. Quote, for to me, to love is Christ and to die is gain. Here in Philippians, we're pushed in a forward direction when it comes to our goals. Paul wrote, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal. In the last chapter, Paul outlined his method for overcoming worry, saying, the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. We just read it. In the heart of the book, Paul wrote a song or a poem about the humility of Christ, who left the highest throne in heaven to descend to earth as a man to die for our sins. Few passages describe Jesus Christ using terms so lofty, yet so humble. Paul's purpose was to compel us to live humbly toward one another. If Jesus, being God, could humble himself and become obedient to death on the cross, should not his children esteem others better than themselves and do all things without grumbling or disputing? Hope my son's listening to this today. When you feel like grumbling, take a few minutes and dip into Philippians. Dip into Philippians. You guys could do me a favor and share out the stream. I'd really appreciate it. We need to reach everybody that we can. And for some reason, we have a lot of people who just will not sign up for a Rumble account. I've already got too many accounts, except for the one that actually counts. I've got a YouTube, I got a Facebook, I got a Twitter, I got a... But you won't take 5 minutes to make a Rumble profile? And that's another reason why it's so hard for a lot of people to find us, because they jump on Rumble every day and they just go to the search bar and search LFA TV. And if you were following the channel and you click that little notification bell, you'd be alerted every single time we were live. And you'd never have a problem finding it. In his grip, your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Psalm 139:10. We teach our children to grip our hand before crossing a busy street. Toddlers walk confidently as long as they remain hand in hand with mom or dad. Joni Erickson, Tada, understands the value of holding the hand of God. In fact, she signs all her correspondence in his grip. It's where this writer claims she needs to be at every moment of her life. A divine accident at age 17 left her a quadriplegic. And though her hands are immobile, she feels safest and most productive when she is hand in hand with God. For Christians, there is no safer place for us than in the hand of Almighty God. The psalmist writes that God's hand was involved in our creation, our birth, and the planning of our life and our future. His hand is strong and a trustworthy source for eternity. If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, you are in his grip. You rest in the hands that belong to the eternal God, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who overcame death, the one who knows your future. You can trust that he is guiding you every step of the way and that he's caring for every part of your life. You are in good hands. So let it go and hold his hand today and walk across the street without fear, without anxiety, without any kind of painful worry. There's no need for it. Ever. And the last thing I want to read today before we go to this video is comfort. Father, your word has established that you will not leave me as an orphan, but that you will come to me and reside with me forever. Multiple times your word declares that your dwelling will be right here on earth amongst humanity. You will comfort us from the death cycle of this age and sustain us with everlasting life. My great God, how I need the comfort of that message today. Remind me through the power of your Holy Spirit of the greatness of the reward that is coming, that I may be so comforted. My heart breaks from the things that I see and the pain that surrounds me every day. Redeem your people and fulfill the promises that you have made so that we may rest in your great peace. Again, you cannot have it unless you talk to him, unless you have a relationship with him. And the best way to do that sometimes is just to listen. God gave you one mouth and two ears so that you could listen twice as much as you talk. And I see we've got a birthday for Lord Fishy, so happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Lord Fishy. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. And after this video, Stay tuned, because I have an amazing, amazing revelation for you about Trump being shot in his right ear.
Believe in God's existence?
Yeah, yeah. No.
You don't?
No.
You're an atheist?
I'm an atheist.
So you believe the scientific impossibility that nothing created everything?
Big bang!
How come we got order?
There was a bang! There grew trees!
Kyle, tell me this. Do you think there's an afterlife?
Yeah.
Heaven and hell?
My preference would be heaven or hell. It would be your own well-being, like your
Can
own
you
happy
speak
place.
Up?
Your own happy place, not really a heaven or hell.
I know a lot of big bangs, and this is one of them.
And it creates chaos.
Yo, stop being a... Just have a real conversation.
You want to go to a happy place?
Yeah.
Now, who determines who goes there?
You.
No, I don't.
Well, not you, but yourself.
You're talking about you in general, not just me.
Yeah.
Do you believe in God's existence?
In a way, yeah.
Why in a way? What do you mean?
I believe in a God, but not what everyone thinks.
You mean like the God of the Bible that tells us it's wrong to lie and steal?
Yeah.
Is he the one you don't like?
Not that I don't like.
He makes you feel guilty, is that right?
Because
you're doing things that are wrong, you know you shouldn't do, is that what you're telling me? Have I hit the nail on the head? I have, haven't I?
Yeah.
So tell me, what are you doing you know would be displeasing to God? Want me to help you?
Sure.
Your friend said to be serious. I'm trying to be serious. So we'll take it serious. Do you think you're a good person? You gotta watch your language with your kids here.
Okay.
How many lies have you told in your life?
About 1,000.
How many lies have you told in your life?
I can't keep count of them. Everybody lies.
Everybody lies. So if you're a liar, so what do you call somebody who lies?
A liar.
So what are you?
A liar.
Do you still think you're a good person?
Now you're doubting me.
Have you ever stolen something, even if it's stolen, your whole life?
Yes, of course.
What do you call somebody who steals? Can you speak up?
A thief.
So what are you? No, you're not. You're a lying thief.
Yep.
Third question. Jeremy, I appreciate your patience with me.
It's okay.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
I'm atheist.
Yeah, have you ever used God's name in vain?
I'm atheist.
Yeah, I know, we've established that. Have you ever used God's name
yes,
in vain?
Yes, he has. I've witnessed it.
Okay. Would you use your mother's name as a cuss word?
I love my mom.
Would you?
My mom's name is a curse word. Her name's Jen.
You wouldn't use her name as a cuss word.
Oh, Jen!
You love her and you respect her.
That's not a curse word, though.
Jeremy, you so hate God, you deny his very existence, even though you've got the genius of his hand all around you, and you use his name as a cuss word. You said you're going to be mature. You use his name as a cuss word to express disgust. That's called blasphemy, punishable by death in the Old Testament. One to go. Jesus said, whoever looks at a woman and lusts for her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
I like my mom.
Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
I think we should start getting real honest.
Yeah.
Have you had sex before marriage?
Have I had sex? Well, I'm not married.
Jeremy, I'm not judging you, but you've just told me you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart, and you have to face God even though you don't believe in him on Judgment Day. If he judges you by the Ten Commandments, looked at four of them, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Heaven or hell?
Hell.
Now, does that concern you?
A little bit, yes.
A big bit. This is your life. This is more precious than your eyes, your soul. You don't want to end up in hell. If you're guilty, will you go to heaven before hell?
Heaven.
Oh, you won't. The Bible says all liars have their part in the lake of fire. And Jeremy, let me tell you something real important. I don't know if you've heard this, but there's a saying called ignorance of the law is no excuse. Have you ever heard that?
Never heard of it.
Well, if you drive through this town at 80 miles an hour and they say the speed limit was 40, you say, I didn't know, they'll still prosecute you. Because ignorance of the law is no excuse. Jeremy, I need your attention. And you're not ignorant of the fact you've sinned against God because he gave you a conscience. The word conscience means with knowledge. So when you lie, steal, fornicate, blaspheme, or lust, you do it with knowledge that it's wrong, and you're without excuse.
I'm atheist.
Now tell me, what did God do for guilty sinners so we wouldn't have to go to hell? Now, do you understand the legal implications of that?
Yes.
Tell me, what does it mean? Just say I don't know.
I do know, but I don't know fully, so no.
Yeah, let me explain, get your thoughts.
Okay.
The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law, Jesus paid the fine. That's what happened on that cross. That's why he said, it is finished, just before he died. That's a strange thing to say just before you die. It is finished. But he was saying the debt has been paid. Dakota, if you're ever in court and someone pays your fine, A judge can let you go even though you're guilty. He can say, Lakota, stack of speeding fines here. This is deadly serious, but someone's paid him. You're free to go, and he can do that which is legal and right and just. Even though you're guilty, you walk. And even though you and I are guilty because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can walk out of his courtroom on Judgment Day. God can take the death sentence off us. He can legally let us live forever, even though we're guilty. He can extend mercy, and justice can be done because of the death and resurrection of the Savior. What you have to do, two things according to the Bible. You must repent of your sins. The Bible says, unless you repent, you'll perish. You got to confess and forsake your sin. Don't say I'm a Christian like the guy who's here before, but you continue to lie and steal and blaspheme and fornicate. That's a hypocrite pretending, just deceiving yourself. So your repentance must be sincere to be genuine. And then you trust in Jesus like you trust a parachute.
How is God forgiving my sins if I don't believe in God?
In a split second, because of what Jesus did on the cross through his death and resurrection. Jeremy, I seem real hard to hold your attention. But just finishing, if you repent and trust Christ, God will forgive your sins and grant you everlasting life. And the reason you deny God is the same reason a thief doesn't want to be near the police, because of his guilt. You love darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil. There's no such thing as an atheist. Everyone has a knowledge of God. The heavens declare his glory. Now, any of you guys disagree? Any of you guys listen? He didn't listen. Did you listen?
I agree with that a little bit, but I listened to you for the most part, yeah.
Well, God offers everlasting life. If you're going to die at midnight tonight, you listen to every word I'm saying. But because you're young and impulsive and you don't think very deeply, you don't think about the issues of eternity. But death is going to seize upon you one day. And God offers you everlasting life as a free gift. So think about why I talk like this. I'm not having fun. I love you guys. I care about you. And I want to see you in heaven, not in hell.
But in all seriousness, do you think religion has done more bad than good or more good than bad?
Jump up and let's talk about it. That was a really good question about religion doing terrible things throughout history. Let me share a statistic with you, because I hear professing atheists say things like religion has caused more wars than anything in history. Uh-huh. Ever heard that?
Yeah.
It's not true. According to the Encyclopedia of Wars, religion has only caused 8% of wars throughout the whole of history. There's been 1,967 wars throughout history. Only 8% were caused by religion. And 2/3 of the 8% were caused by Islam, which is understandable. That is 92% of the wars in history were like the First World War, political. Second World War, political. Vietnam War, Korean War, war in Iraq. All those are political wars. Nothing to do with religion in that sense. Or maybe Iraq. Man, I'm exhausted. But I want to thank you for listening. You're 10 times more of a man than your friend. Now, one question for you here. If you were going to jump out of a plane 10,000 feet, why would you want to put on a parachute?
Because I won't die.
Yeah. Now, what's your motive for putting on the parachute? Yeah, it's fear. You fear dying, so you put the parachute on so you can be saved.
Correct.
So fear is your friend in that case, not your enemy. And today, I've tried to put the fear of God in your heart to make you fearful that you'd sin against God. But that fear is your friend. It's not your enemy. Because it'll bring you to the foot of the cross where you say, God, forgive me. Where you'll find everlasting life as a free gift of God. Is this making sense?
Yes.
You're going to think about what we talked about?
Yes.
You're going to think about it seriously?
Seriously, yeah.
As if you're going to die tonight, that's the attitude you've got to have.
Yes.
Booklet. So, do you ever have suicidal thoughts?
I'm not going to lie, yeah.
I'll give you a booklet.
This is what I get.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that, again, I wanted to show that because it's very, very hard for people to pay attention in this world. And when I started watching Ray, it was back when he would do it in front of crowds. Now he singles people out and does it just mobily. But when he used to do it on Huntington Beach, he'd have crowds. And he would make people pay attention and focus just on him, just on the message of God. And imagine how hard that is when you have friends around you egging you on and saying things and you're trying to show off. And he was a master at getting people to just focus, and he'd do what he could do. And I loved that. And that's the kind of focus that we have to have if we're going to have any kind of a relationship with Jesus, so that we can give him our anxiety and our fears. If it's never worked for you, then maybe, just maybe, you need to do a little bit more one-on-one with God and just focus on him. And it doesn't always have to be through the word of God in the Bible. That is what gets you to the understanding of his word. But to just spend time with him, you're going to get a lot out of that. You're going to get a lot out of that. I want to read something for you. In Judaism, blood on the right ear has significance. When Moses anointed Aaron, the high priest, and his sons for their duties in the tabernacle, ram's blood was placed on their right ears before congregation. The blood signified the consecration of Aaron and his sons for duty. In that moment, they went from being a private citizen anointed for their public work before God and for the sake of the people. So whether you like President Donald J. Trump, or whether you hate him, folks, long story short, it's irrelevant. If God has chosen him to lead this nation and showing us that with the blood on the right ear, then it is time to pray for him. It is time to gather around this anointed man. And it is time to make America godly again so that we can make America great again. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for Rise Up today. I want to thank you very much for being here. I want to hear this song on the way out just as much as you guys do. So thank you very, very much for liking, sharing. Thank you for donating. Thank you for being here on my journey with Jesus. Mike Crispy and Unafraid comes up next, folks. Do not miss it. And then after that, of course, 2 hours of Live from America. And hopefully today's show will be able to be rewatched. We're working on yesterday's show. God bless you all. Enjoy the rest of the day here on LFA TV. And I'll see you in a little while. God bless you all. Goodbye.